Let's go, girls.
Welcome to the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson and Molly Vogt. Molly is a former mutual fund consultant and retirement plan specialist who is currently the director and founder of My Purse Politics. Kim served as a city councilwoman, is a former investment broker, and now a successful entrepreneur. Now, let's hear what's hatching in local and national politics with the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim.
Hey, everybody. It is World War II. Heroes really do exist. Greatest Generation Stories of Personal Testimony Day is Friday.
I love Fridays. Hope you're having a fabulous Friday out there.
Always. This is the AmeriChicks. I'm Molly Vogt.
And I'm Kim Munson.
And we're excited to be here with you today to share a personal story straight from the mouth of someone who was there in World War II. And we do that every Friday. If you know a veteran who has a story or a family member that would like to share a World War II story, please share it with us. And if you'd like to give any messages or give any questions to our veteran today, give us a call, 303-632-4160. And follow us on AmeriChicks at Gmail, AmeriChicks on our website, AmeriChicks at Facebook, and Twitter. Mm-hmm. as well.
And all these shows, Molly, are archived on our website.
They sure are. So World War II, let's just kind of give the quick background, and then we will introduce our head guy today. In December 7th, 1941, just before 8 a.m., hundreds of Japanese fighter planes bombed the U.S. naval base in Hawaii. And they destroyed approximately 20 naval vessels, including battleships, more than 300 airplanes, more than 2,400 Americans died, civilians died, thousands were wounded. The next day, the President of the United States, FDR, asked Congress to declare war on Japan. They said yes. America finally entered World War II. So this is in 1941. And we share stories of World War II. And right now, we're going to share a story from somebody who was on the History Channel. You may have seen something recently on the Deep Sea Detectives episode Destroyer Down. This is a story specifically about the USS Murphy. This destroyer received 4 battle stars through its career, Kim. It hit many different areas.
So now what does that mean? Does that mean that they were in 4 different battles? Do they get a battle star? We'll ask Joe, right?
Well, I don't know what you're asking me. We're going to ask Joe.
Okay.
But they hit many different areas. Joe will tell us more, but just kind of some highlights: Japan, Normandy, North Africa, Saudi Arabia, to get us started. But also at one point during all of those different fights, it had a crash with a friendly just off the shore of New Jersey. And that was in 1943. And in 2000, explorer divers actually found the front section of the USS Murphy. And they did a great reunion. They've had a memorial there. And our World War II vet was actually there present. So he's going to talk to us a little bit about that as well. So Joe Van Iseren, welcome to the AmeriChicks show.
Thank you.
Thanks for being with us, Joe. We're really excited to have you on today, and it was neat to watch you on the History Channel.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to get to that famous crash later on in the show, because we believe that you were actually on the USS Murphy for some of the battles before that. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was on it for 3 invasions.
Great. Okay. Well, we want to talk about those 3 invasions. But first, if you don't mind, let's start at the very beginning. Joe, where were you and what were you doing and how old were you when you heard that Japan bombed Pearl Harbor?
Oh, well, I was working for Wright Aeronautical, working on the radial engines. And on a Sunday morning, there were only 2 of us in working that morning. And we heard over the radio that the Japs had bombed Pearl Harbor. So I asked the other fellow that was working with me. I said, "Where's Pearl Harbor?" I don't know.
We've also heard vets say that when we ask this question, they're like, "Who is Pearl Harbor?" You know.
Yeah. We had no idea where it was. So, but from there, if you want to know, I enlisted in the Navy in January, but was not called up until beginning of April. there was a big epidemic of measles at Sampson, New York, where I was supposed to go, and I ended up going to Great Lakes. So that was from right here in Aqua into the Navy.
Okay. And how did you choose the Navy specifically?
I didn't want to lay in the mud.
So, yeah, we actually, Joe, we'd had one of our vets, we'd asked why he had joined the Army, and he said that, well, I'm a pretty good shot, and I like to camp. And so you guys come up with all kinds of different reasons why you chose your particular branch of service.
All right.
So you're in the Navy now. And yeah. Tell us a little bit how you got to the USS Murphy, but as we look at the history of where you were, I mean, it's pretty astonishing from Normandy to Japan. So start at the beginning. You're at training, you said, at the Great Lakes, right?
Yeah, well, Great Lakes. And then they sent me to machinist mate school. And, of course, I was quite familiar with everything, so I came out as a machinist mate second class.
Okay.
And I was sent to Norfolk, Virginia. And I was assigned to the Murphy. And I was on the Murphy until I got off in South Carolina at the end of the war. So
that was that basically 1942 to 1945?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, that's... the first thing, when I got on it, I was actually a replacement. The ship was in the Casablanca invasion, North Africa. And it got hit by a French shell. The French were firing at us, at them. I wasn't on it then, but there was quite a few men there, and I came back, and I got on it as a replacement. We went up to Boston to have the ship repaired, because it went into the after engine room, the shell did. And so from there, after I got out of on the ship, we made quite a few convoys across to England and whatnot.
And, you know, let me ask you about that, Joe. We're talking with Joe Van Iseren, who is a World War II vet. And in this article that we read about you, you know, there's the Nazi U-boats, the wolf packs, and they were always hunting for these convoys that you were a part of. And it said...
Yeah.
It said in the article that these were very high-speed, shaking hands with the devil kind of runs. So talk a little bit about that. And I mean, was it scary or, you know?
You don't have time to get scared, really.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'd leave with the convoy, and we went out with the convoy. In the first 24 hours, we would run out of dip charges. The only reason we did that, we came across these wolf packs. We kept them down, and we would stay with them and just keep dropping charges. And then the convoy would get like 24 hours ahead, so then we'd take off and go catch up to it. Of course, the convoy only goes as fast as the slowest ship, and usually they travel about 5 or 6 knots, which is like 10 miles an hour, you know.
Okay, now explain to me the depth charges.
You set a depth on them, 100 feet, 200 feet, whatever, 150 feet, and they'll explode when they reach that depth. And everything comes up from the ocean up, you know. So we are sure we got two subs not there, but throughout the war. But we never got credit for them because they're always at night, and we could never verify that we sunk them. But we knew we did.
Well, that's amazing. So, you would do that, and I'm still not a little unclear. While the convoy was trying to get ahead of you, is that what you said?
Yeah, we keep the subs down, so the convoy just keep going, and of course, then the subs couldn't chase go along with them. And then after maybe 12 hours, 24 hours, however they thought, then we'd take off and catch up to them. Of course, we could do 37 knots.
Okay.
And it didn't take long to catch up to them, even though they were 24 hours ahead.
Okay.
But we never lost any our convoys that I was on, and I made 9 trips across the Atlantic.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. And the quote in the article that that we read, it said, the author said that every one of these crossings was very perilous. And then the other thing he said, that each crossing was building your character.
Yeah, right. the only thing we really liked was real, real rough weather. You didn't have to worry too much about subs.
Okay.
Yeah, the worse the weather was, the better we felt.
Okay, because it would be more dangerous for the subs as well. So
yeah.
Okay.
And then when we got close to England, you had to watch out for the aircraft, the German aircraft, trying to still bomb them. You know.
So wow. So you know what, Joe? We're talking with Joe Van Iseren. He's a World War II vet on the USS Murphy, which is a destroyer, right?
Right.
Okay. And your primary duty was manning the engine room. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was working in the engine room.
Okay. Well, we're going to go to break here in just a moment. This story is fascinating. And again, we are the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. We're talking with Joe Van Iseren, who is a World War II vet. And he has just talked about making 9 trips across the Atlantic, trying to protect his convoy from the Nazi U-boats, the Wolf Pack, those guys like to hunt our convoys. So this is the AmeriChicks.
Sure.
This is the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. We'll go to break and we'll be back in just a moment.
If you're a veteran looking to purchase a home, choose the local experts, Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance. VA loans offer qualifying veterans the option to buy without a down payment. And since these loans are government insured, limited closing fees. Active duty military, reserves, National Guard, retired military, and surviving spouses may qualify. Give Kim Sturtz or Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance a call today at 303-888-2732. Or check them out on the AmeriChicks referral list at AmeriChicks.com. Home Mortgage Alliance LLC is an approved FHA lender and sponsored agent of VA loans. NMLS number 1137507.
When buying or selling your home, you need a top-notch negotiator with experience. Award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine has helped individuals navigate the ups and downs of the Denver real estate market for over 25 years. Karen Levine is honest, trustworthy, and has your best interests in mind. Let Karen help you find the right home for your lifestyle. Call Karen at 303-877-7516 for a no-cost consultation. That's 303-877-7516. Or visit her online at karen-levine.com and tell her the AmeriChicks sent you. Bookkeeping, accounting, and taxes, oh my! No need to worry about your company or personal finances with the proven professionals at Predovich & Company. Predovich & Company are certified public accountants who offer exceptional services to individuals, businesses, and nonprofits. Serving the South Metro area, the team at Predovich & Company strives to take a proactive approach in understanding your tax, accounting, and bookkeeping needs and situation. Give Predovich & Company a call at 303-791-3000 or check out their website at dpredovich.com and be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
It's time. October is here, and the scary features are hitting the screen. Please join the historic 88 Drive-In Theater and be sure to bring someone to hold on to for their upcoming triple features. Admission at 88 Drive-In Theater is only $8 per person, and children under 12 are free. Your admission includes all features. Stay for one or all three. New fall box office hours are 6 p.m. Friday and Saturday and 6:30 p.m. Monday through Thursday. To stay up to date on movie showings and times, go to 88drivein.net and like the 88 Drive-In on Facebook. And be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Hey, welcome back to the AmeriChicks Show with Molly and Kim on KDMT. We are talking about World War II because this is the World War II Project Day, our favorite day. But real quick, I want to go back and tell you, you just heard the 88 Drive-In commercial, and I wanted to let you know that starting today, they have a whole new lineup of shows. So here you go. Go tonight or tomorrow night, Blade Runner 2049, Flatliners, and American Made. So check them out.
It'll be a beautiful weekend.
Yep. So we are on the phone right now with World War II veteran Joe Van Iseren, and he served on the USS Murphy from 1942 all the way to the end of the war till 1945. And the USS Murphy may sound familiar to you because either A, you're a total history buff and you know that it won 4 battle stars throughout its career, or you saw it on the History Channel. And if you haven't, check it out, Deep Sea Detectives episode Destroyer Down. We are going to get to that particular section soon because Joe was on the ship at that time, but we're starting at the beginning of his time, and we're going to talk about the different battles that he saw. So, Joe, in the last segment, you said that you were working in the engine room, and you had basically taken about 9 trips across the Atlantic. Do you mind? Let's start with, what was the first real action that you saw?
An invasion of Sicily.
Okay.
Yeah, we were always in the initial invasion, and we were fighting tanks and everything else from shore. We had 5-inch guns, but that was it was a kind of ticklish situation. If there was a cruiser in there that picking off these tanks, we would have lost that one. But because we had nothing ashore but men, and then from there we got hit. We got hit in Palermo, Sicily. With an air raid on the after end. So we had to come back to Brooklyn and repaired. Our home port was Brooklyn.
Like Brooklyn, New York? So all the way from Sicily to Brooklyn, New York?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, we stopped for fuel here and there, you know.
Sure. So the destroyer is damaged. But you go back to Brooklyn. Were you not like a target for these U-boats and these wolf packs, or how did you get back?
They really didn't bother too much with the destroyers, because the destroyer was kind of a shallow draft to it and kind of narrow. You know, it's not an easy thing to hit. So the submarines didn't bother too much with us.
Okay, it was the convoys that they were really after.
Right.
Got it.
So then we got the repairs, and we went on another I think it was six ships full of troops on that convoy when we picked up that radar. It's about 100 miles out of New York at night, and that's when we got cut in half.
Okay, so now we're getting to the section where you got into an accident with a friendly, just off the shore of New Jersey. Where were you?
It was 70 miles out of off New Jersey.
Okay.
And 100 miles out of New York.
Okay.
And it was our fault. We cut right in front of it. It was a tanker that had trouble from another convoy and was heading back to New York to get repairs. And, of course, you're running without lights or anything at night, so you can't see anything.
Mm-hmm.
And all these merchant ships had some sort of arrangement on them that if they picked up like a noise of a screw from the ship or whatever, from a torpedo, it turned into the noise, which narrowed down the target. In other words, it was a lot smaller target going at it. A lot of times the torpedo would go right past the ship, you know. And that's when we cut in front of it and cut us right in half.
Well,
I was in the forward engine room, and it went through the forward fire room. And I think if we answered the bell 3 seconds sooner, I wouldn't be here talking to you. Mm. We even had trouble getting out of that engine room when the hatch was closing. And then we thought, you know, after a while, we lost 35 men that night. And there was nothing you could do about to help them, because we were pitch dark in a half a ship that was floating. But at least the Glennon came back, and a couple others came back to help him. Picked up quite a few.
So, Joe, are you saying that the ship actually was totally cut in half?
Right. One half of the ship. The only thing that was floating was it got cut in half right after, right in the forward stack.
Okay.
And that's from there back, that's the only thing that was floating. Because when you go out, you go to what they call a split ship. Where you seal it off, and you can't go along underneath from like in the cabins, you know, from one cabin to the next. On the engine rooms, you have to go up and the ladder and then go in and then down on the ladder. So there's a sealed off there.
Sure. Okay.
So,
I was recently out in San Diego and toured the USS Midway. And so that's, you know, what they have. They have all these different compartments, right, that you can seal off if water starts to come and get into one of the compartments.
Water, yeah. Makes it all work, yeah. So they came out and towed us back. It took about 2-3 days. According to the History Channel, it seems like we got back in like 12 hours. And then when we got tied up there at the pier, We had nothing to eat for all that time, or drink, and they wouldn't allow anybody on or off. They wouldn't do anything. Of course, they thought it might have been sabotaged.
Well, Joe, why wouldn't they give y'all anything to eat? And did the kitchen get caught off the boat?
Finally, they sent us sandwiches and coffee.
Wow.
And then finally, it all worked out, you know. And it took about 6 months to rebuild, but we figured we were going to miss the Normandy invasion, but no such luck. We were right in front of it, right in with the troops.
So is that the next thing is Normandy?
Normandy, right.
Okay.
And in the meantime, my daughter was born on June 2nd, and June 6th, we made the invasion. That was over in Normandy.
Wow.
And I didn't know anything about it until 29 days later, it came over the loudspeaker. And the funny part of it was there was two other guys that there had children, and they named them two. They had to buy cigars and Van. They called me Van. He has to buy cherry lollipops.
You all found out over the loudspeaker at the same time that you were fathers?
Yeah, right.
And, Joe, in the article it said that your daughter was 2 years old before you first met her. And what was the quote that she said when you came home?
Get out of my mommy's bed.
Well, let's talk about Normandy. Tell us about Normandy.
Well, Normandy was quite an invasion. It was getting the troops ashore and whatnot. And we were fighting a tank there for a while in a pillbox, a small pillbox, and anything we could do to help. And there was a lot of, you know, these Germans had what they call E-boats, and they would come in at night, or the planes would come over to bomb at night. And it was just luck if they hit a ship. That's all I was saying.
Yeah. Now, were you there the first? Well, a couple of things. How many ships were there in the invasion?
I would say 4,000 or 5,000, yeah.
Yeah. And so how did that work? Did you go out from England in different waves, or how did that work exactly?
Yeah, we went over the wave with LSTs and whatnot.
The landing craft. The LSTs are the landing craft, right?
That's why we were right up in the almost on the beach.
Oh, my gosh.
And I haven't verified this, but I think out of our squadron, we were the only ones that wasn't sunk. That I can't verify. So, you know, I'm talking destroyers.
Well, so you're right up there. Molly and I have been to Normandy. And in fact, Joe, that is why we do this World War II project show, is we went with a team last year that went with four D-Day vets. And I always, you know, kind of knew that D-Day was important. But once we really stood on the beaches and saw what you guys did to stand up against evil and tyranny, we became committed to make sure that we could have as many of you guys tell your stories as possible.
Yeah, I was over, and they invited me over in D-Day of 2016.
We were there, too.
I was over there for 10 days.
Was that your first time back to Normandy, Joe?
Yeah, yes.
What did you think?
I couldn't get over it, you know. You keep looking at it. Yeah, very emotional.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe, one other thing. Did the French not treat you like you were a rock star?
Yes. I got so tired of, you know, signing my name by the hundreds. They just, every place we went was the same search. It was only 9 of us from the U.S.
Oh, that is so
awesome.
Well,
did you end up with lipstick all over your face, too?
A little bit. They treated us really, really nice.
Yeah.
But over with the Greatest Generation Foundation.
Right. Oh,
they take them all over the world. They're all different battle places.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for them to call me to go to Nagasaki.
Yeah, that will be fascinating because, let's finish up with Normandy right now, though. So you were basically pretty much first wave. You said that you were, your destroyer was, you said, trying to get a pillbox. Is that right?
Yeah, a small pillbox that was up there, and there was a tank up there firing, so we were firing back at them. I don't know if we hit them or they hit us or what, but I don't think so.
Okay.
And was that near Point du Hoc?
Were you
Omaha, it was Omaha, Omaha Beach, right?
Omaha. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was where, I mean, it was tough everywhere, but Omaha was where our guys really, yeah, really took,
yeah,
it.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it surprises me with this, what happened in the big shooting where Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
And, you imagine what they go through with thousands of machine guns shooting at them at Normandy.
Yeah.
And that was only one man shooting, right?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. But I think we lost 20,000 that night out there.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
It was a tough day. So tell us. So you're, how long were you? Was your destroyer? How long was the Murphy at the battle? I mean, were you there for the duration?
We were there for 29 days, and then they pulled us out of there, and we made the Southern France invasion.
Right. Call that kind of like the second Normandy, right?
Yeah. It wasn't as bad as Normandy, but it was bad.
Hmm. Let's talk about that one when we get back from break. But real quick, Joe, do you remember when did you hear you were going to do, when they were going to finally say, okay, this is D-Day? Because they were trying to decide on the weather and it was waiting. When did you hear that you guys were ready to go?
Well, we were out sailing for, I think we left on the 2nd. It was canceled on the 2nd. I think we left on the 2nd. Everything was sealed off. You couldn't. No mail came aboard, no mail, nothing went ashore or anything. It was all sealed, and we were out steaming around. So we actually didn't know when what was going to happen. And all of a sudden, we started in with the rest of them on the 6th.
Great.
You never knew nothing.
Yeah.
Until you were there.
Well, that'll teach you the art of being ready at all times. Joe Van Iseren, stick with us through the break. We'll be right back. We're talking about World War II, and Joe was in the Navy, and he served on the USS Murphy. We'll be right back.
Dude, I need help. How can I perfect my golf swing and keep my promise to put in a whole new kitchen by next month?
No worries. Call Rafe and Colin at Harmony Ridge Construction. They've been doing this for 40 years all over the globe. Trust me, they'll make you look like a genius, and you'll have more time to perfect that golf swing. You really need to work on that.
Great. I'll give Harmony Ridge Construction a call today. What's their number?
720-660-0265. Or visit them online at harmonyridgeconstruction.com. They're best for any small fix or a large remodel. They'll help you out.
Guy Whidden, 101st Airborne, landed Normandy in the dark on D-Day 1944, was knocked out on the jump, woke up, a gun to his head. What happened next? If you love the AmeriChicks World War II project on Fridays and know a World War II vet, we'd love to share their story. We're in a race against time to gather as many stories as possible and as quickly as possible to preserve them for all future generations. So if you know a World War II vet or have that great World War II story to share, email us at AmeriChicks@gmail.com. That's the AmeriChicks@gmail.com.
If you're a veteran looking to purchase a home, choose the local experts, Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance. VA loans offer qualifying veterans the option to buy without a down payment. And since these loans are government insured, limited closing fees. Active duty military, reserves, National Guard, retired military, and surviving spouses may qualify. Give Kim Sturtz or Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance a call today at 303-888-2732. Or check them out on the AmeriChicks referral list at AmeriChicks.com. Home Mortgage Alliance LLC is an approved FHA lender and sponsored agent of VA loans. NMLS number 1137507.
Are you concerned, perplexed about the events happening in America today? Where can you go for answers? Check out the Centennial Institute at Colorado Christian University. The Centennial Institute sponsors research, events, and publications so that you can understand the most important issues facing our state and nation. By proclaiming truth, they foster faith, family, and freedom, teach citizenship, and renew the spirit of 1776. Check out their website at ccu.edu to read their latest publications and find a schedule of upcoming events. That's ccu.edu.
America is a beautiful, beautiful country, and our greatest generation, how amazing and how brave and how much they went through to risk all to protect the lives of people under tyranny that they would never meet. But that's because that's what Americans do. Where this is the Americhicks, and we're doing our World War II show because it's Friday today. But real quick, before we do that, we'd like to give you a little information on one of our sponsors that we think you are going to totally love. Check out evanyouritguy.com. Anytime you have a computer problem, hardware, software, memory, that little thing spinning around and around and around and around, 24/7 you can call them. No matter what, they can fix anything. And especially, they are hiring veterans. So if you know any veterans with IT skills, you want to hook them up with evanyouritguy.com as well. Also, they're giving away a free webcam camera.
I love mine.
And so all you got to do is get on their website. You'll get the free webcam camera and then get on their list so you know
camera cover.
What all they do. Free webcam cover.
Yeah.
Sorry. So go to evanyouritguy.com, scroll to the bottom under Discover, hit free webcam cover, fill out the contact form, include your mailing address, mention the Americhicks, and you'll get one for free.
You got it.
All right. So back to the show. So we are speaking with World War II Navy veteran Joe Van Iseren, and he served on the USS Murphy. If you are a fan of the History Channel, you've probably seen information on the Murphy on Deep Sea Detectives. The episode specifically is Destroyer Down. Check it out. Also, we've put a link on that on the Americhicks Facebook page, so you could go to watch that there as well. So Joe Van Iseren. Before we went to break and in the last two segments, we've talked about the fact that you joined in 1942 and you served on the USS Murphy all the way till the end of the war in 1945. You were in three evasions. You worked in the engine room. You were told us about your time in Sicily. You told us about the accident where right off just New Jersey, about 80 miles off of New Jersey, off the shore, where you guys were hit with the SS Bulk Oil. And it cut the forward section off of your boat, and that was just recently found in 2000. And then after you got fixed, you went to Normandy. You were on Omaha Beach on D-Day, and you were there for about 29 days before you ran. Then your next mission took you to the southern France invasion. So, Joe, let's start with that. Start with the southern France invasion.
Well, there's not too much to talk about that. Because I think the Germans were pretty much on the run by then, so but it was not an easy invasion, and of course everybody asks, what did you see? I didn't see anything. I was always down in the engine room. every once in a while I'd go up to the escape hatch and I'd look out and I'd go, oh, that's not for me. I get back down.
Joe, as I was reading things, I'm like, I wonder what your typical day was like. Because those engine rooms had to be hot, and went in the invasion of Sicily, which is near North Africa, that had to be really hot. So, what was what was your day like on the USS Murphy?
It was always four on and eight off. So you put in 8 hours a day, but it's all split. So and then that week and the next week you might have the 12 to 4. And then the 4 to 8, and then the 8 to 12, and so on and so forth. So sometimes you're during the day, and sometimes it's at night. But down in the engine room, outside of with the blowers on, you get under the blowers as much as you can. It was about 120 degrees all the time.
So wow.
The only time everybody enjoyed being down there was when we were up in the North Atlantic in the winter.
Everybody else is freezing, but you guys are comfortable. So what was your duties exactly? What did you do exactly in the engine
room? I was in charge of the engine and forward engine room, and just make sure the engines keep running, period. So then we made our own water. We made 500 gallons an hour, and basically that was it. We just took care of the engines.
So did you...
125,000 horsepower each engine.
Wow.
So I had the forward engine room, and then the after engine room was the other engine.
And were you desalinating water? Is that how you were making your water?
Yes. I would just take the salt water in, and the fresh water came out. It was so pure that the boilers got first chance on the water. Now the boilers ran on very, very clean water. And if there was enough left over, we could take a shower once in a while. So, but during the back to the Normandy invasion, we didn't shower for quite a while. So, But you didn't notice anything because we all smelled the same.
Yeah. I'm actually not really wanting to think about what that was like, Joe.
What about food on the boat, Joe?
It's not the greatest. The ships today, the big ships today, they have the ice cream fountain. They have all kinds of stuff. We had nothing. I mean, I had ptomaine poisoning 4 times.
So I suspect what kind of poisoning?
Ptomaine poisoning, you ever had?
Nope.
It's so severe. I mean, it's terrible.
Is it like food poisoning? Is that what it's like?
Yes, it's actual food poisoning.
Oh, yeah, I have had food poisoning.
Oh, yeah,
that's not good. Not good.
I've had it 4 times. Matter of fact, the one time the doctor sat with me 24 hours and said I was going to make it. And we had nothing. He kept feeding me orange juice. That's all we had. It was canned orange juice. And finally, I got through that.
You know, Joe, as you're talking about this, and it really has been, as we've talked to you World War II vets, is, you know, at this point in time in America, we live in a land of plenty. I mean, it's amazing to go into a grocery store and see all the choices that we have, which is wonderful.
Unbelievable.
Because it's the American idea. But you guys went hungry a lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't want to mention what we used to call the food.
We want to remain on the air if that's
right. No more beeping.
Yeah, no more beeping, right.
Now, Joe Van Iseren, Navy sailor in World War II on the USS Murphy. Joe, I know when you guys are in boot camp and you're ready, getting ready to go off, you were doing so much exercising and working out and stuff. Were y'all doing the same thing on the boat then while you're actually at war, or are you kind of so busy that you're just focused on the engines and focused on the fight?
We never did exercise out there. We didn't have to. I mean, we were just always running around, you know?
Yeah, pretty stressed.
You're never sitting still, really.
Right.
But time flies that way, too, you know?
Well, that's true. I can only imagine going up and down those ladders and all over that boat. I'm sure that you probably didn't have an ounce of fat on you.
Yeah. And then, Joe, when you had...
I went in the Navy, I was 124 pounds.
Oh.
I came out of the Navy for just about 4 years, 129 pounds.
Oh.
Boy.
5 pounds.
Yeah, and it was probably the salt water. You were retaining salt.
Yeah, you're right, retaining water. So how tall are you, Joe?
I was 5'9", 5'10", now I'm 5'9".
So you were 5'10", 129 pounds.
And how old were you when you went into the Navy?
I was 20. When I came out, I was 24.
Okay.
I should be able to do the math, but I'm just going to ask you the question. How old are you now?
97.
Woo-hoo!
97. Aw.
97 years young.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I still have my hearing. I still get around. I don't need a walker or anything like that. My wife does. She has a walker.
Okay.
And she's 95. And we've been married 74 years.
Wow. Oh my gosh. What's her name? What's your wife's name?
Olive.
Olive.
Oh,
that's beautiful. And did you end up having more children?
Yes, we had a boy.
Okay.
Our daughter, we had the daughter first, and then 6 years later we had a boy.
Oh, nice.
And then our daughter passed away about 3 years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was a crazy thing. I'd rather not get into that.
Okay,
yeah.
That's fine.
And Joe, you said that, you know, you heard about your daughter being born over the loudspeakers and the intercoms while you were on the ship. Were you able to write letters back and forth? And how often were you able to actually get mail or make phone calls or call home?
Usually about every when we're out to sea, about every 6 weeks we got mail.
And in America today, we get text messages and phone calls immediately. Again, you guys didn't have much to eat, and there wasn't much communication with your loved ones.
No. No, it was quite a space in between. Every time you got home and whatnot. excuse me.
Okay, well,
real quick, Joe, we've heard some World War II vets that were Navy sailors say that there was a specialist on the boat that would write love letters for them back home if the men didn't feel that they could do that themselves. Did you all have one of those?
No.
You wrote all your own. Yeah. That's very romantic. Good for you.
Okay. Well, we are the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim. We're talking with Joe Van Iseren, and he served in the engine room on the USS Murphy from 1942 to 1945. And we talked about the Battle of Normandy and then the battle in southern France. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to hear Joe's story from there. So this is the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, with Joe Van Iseren.
When buying or selling your home, you need a top-notch negotiator with experience. Award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine has helped individuals navigate the ups and downs of the Denver real estate market for over 25 years. Karen Levine is honest, trustworthy, and has your best interests in mind. Let Karen help you find the right home for your lifestyle. Call Karen at 303-877-7516 for a no-cost consultation. That's 303-877-7516. Or visit her online at karen-levine.com and tell her the AmeriChicks sent you.
Hey, if you like what you're hearing from the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, chances are your future clients do too. Let us help you promote your business and fatten up your wallet. To feature your business on the AmeriChicks program, email us at AmeriChicks@gmail.com. We feature the most topical news and intriguing guests every weekday during afternoon drive time, 5 to 6 p.m., while you and your clients are enjoying the program on your way home from work. So become a sponsor today by emailing the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, at AmeriChicks@gmail.com. That's the AmeriChicks@gmail.com. Or visit us online at AmeriChicks.com. Today you need to have a great online and social media presence, and the best in the biz is Desi On Demand. The AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, personally work with Brandon, the founder of Desi On Demand. Desi On Demand is instrumental with our video projects, Chick Chat, Eggs, Exceptional Endeavors, and our World War II project. We most heartily endorse his creativity, innovation, dedication, and integrity. Brandon and his team bring all that to the table. Check out Desi On Demand's website at mydesi.com or call 303-359-1522 for more info, and be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
In a world of uncertainty, anything can happen. It pays to protect yourself, your family, your business, your home, and your car. And it pays to work with the proven professionals at Alliance Insurance Services. Jeremy McCallum and his Alliance Insurance Services team work with a variety of insurance companies competing for your business. Jeremy and the Alliance Insurance Services team helps you find the right insurance at the right price. They know you'll sleep better at night knowing Alliance Insurance Services is handling all of your insurance needs. Give them a call today at 303-431-9351. That's 303-431-9351. And be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Well, welcome back to the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website, AmeriChicks.com. And that is where we are on Facebook and Twitter as well, the AmeriChicks. We have on the line with us Joe Van Iseren. He's a World War II veteran. He served in the forward engine room of the USS Murphy, which this particular destroyer was everywhere, it seems like, Joe. So we've talked about Normandy. We've talked about the southern invasion of France.
And we talked about Sicily.
Now, there was something very interesting. You said that the USS Murphy escorted the President of the United States and the King of Saudi Arabia.
Yes, we escorted him. It was on the USS Quincy, and we took him over into the Great Bitter Lake Conference. And then from there, they dispatched us to go down through the Suez Canal to Jeddah, I believe it was Jeddah, Arabia, and pick up the King of Arabia and his group and bring him back to a private conference with President Roosevelt. So that was quite a trip. That was a four-day trip for us, doing in the canal, in the Red Sea, and then back up and drop them off after the conference. So we had quite a time there. He came. We had 10 sheep on the back end of the ship.
10 sheep?
Yeah, sheep, because they wouldn't eat anything unless it was fresh killed.
Oh.
And did they kill it themselves, or did they ask y'all to do that?
He wanted to bring 20. He wanted to bring 20 of his wives and all that, but we had enough. No wives, just the sheep.
Well, that's a joke for another day.
Now, wait, 20 wives for 4 days? Well, I don't know.
I think at that point he had about 40 wives. I'm not sure. But anyway, he had food tasters and everything else. So, but we used to watch him kill the sheep. And then they skin it. He'd take the knife and skin it a little bit, put the knife in his mouth and hold it, skin it a little more, and then back with the knife, It was comical, really.
So, if you look at the look on Molly's face, she's not thinking comical.
Oh, well, and how many people did he bring with him then?
Offhand, I would say 40.
About 40 people. Yeah, and where did they sleep?
He had 10 guards.
Okay.
And each guard was picked from the best fighter from a tribe, one of the tribes. I think there's 10 tribes in Arabia. So they were best wives, so they basically didn't talk to each other, I guess. So they took care of the king. And if you step there, if you start looking at the king, they'd step right in front of you.
Oh, for his protection.
The only thing they'd have, it was a dagger and a sword, or a saber, whatever you want to call it. And, of course, we put on a show of dropping depth charges, firing the guns, and they were amazed because they didn't have guns.
Okay.
But we were after the oil. So, but I would love to know what we gave. I know we gave him a DC-3, and we sent a pilot down there to train him and fly it, and a special built wheelchair. He was pretty well beat up from fighting. They fight this week, this month with this tribe. Next month they fight with another tribe, and.
So the king was in a wheelchair?
Yeah, he was pretty well beat up.
Okay.
But he actually walked across from the we put a walkway down from our ship to the Quincy, and crazy about that. Some say no, he didn't walk, but if you look on my website, you'll see where he did walk.
Wow. What is your website, Joe?
It's USS Murphy DD603.com. .org, rather.
Okay, one more time. USS Murphy.
DD603.org.
Okay. Now, so Joe, so this meeting was between President Roosevelt and the King of Saudi Arabia because President Roosevelt was trying to negotiate for fuel, for oil, for our Army
Arabian
and Navy,
oil.
Right?
Yeah, we were after the oil. So they made some sort of agreement. But it was funny. There was four big steamer trunks carried aboard from the from our ship to the Quincy to give to Roosevelt. And I'd love to know what was in those trunks.
Mm. Yeah, but they probably wouldn't let you get too close
Gold.
To those. Now, and so you picked up the King of Saudi of Arabia, and then you went. Back through the Suez Canal, where was this meeting at exactly?
At Great Bitter Lake in Arabia.
Okay.
Actually, I guess that's in Egypt. I'm not sure.
Okay.
It's in Egypt. Well, they had one with Stalin was there and Churchill, but this is a private meeting with the King of Arabia and Roosevelt.
Wow, that is fascinating.
That's what we were involved in. So we had them for 4 days. And then we turned them over to, to the British. And they took care of them from there. I don't know whatever happened to them.
Okay.
So, but it's the first time he ever left this Arabia.
Wow. Okay, so I have a question about the sheep. So, Joe, you've got 10 sheep on board the USS Murphy because that's what they're using for food. Did they bring hay or something for the ground,
no.
Like for them for their droppings, or who was cleaning up after the sheep and feeding the sheep?
The whole bow where everything was taking place was on with Persian rugs. I mean, they were beautiful rugs. They were just covered. And I don't know how that worked. I really wasn't interested.
Oh, is that the engine room calling me? Got to go.
Okay. Well, Joe Van Iseren, we're going to run out of time without getting to the last part of the story, and that is you then ended up off the coast of Japan, right?
Yes. When the war was, we were going to Okinawa to get ready for the invasion of Japan when the war ended. And then we were assigned to take the hospital ship Sanctuary in to pick our prisoners up in Nagasaki. And then we went to three other cities, Nagoya, and I can't remember the other two names, to pick our prisoners up. And then when we got done, we got word that we were going back to the 5-cent cigar. so we knew we were going home.
Huh. Were you able to assess the condition of our prisoners? Were you close enough to see them?
No, I never did see the prisoners, but we got to walk around in Nagasaki. And that was a baby atomic bomb, and it was tremendous destruction. Certain little things stayed up, like a round chimney, something like that would stay up, but everything else, the steel was melted and the factories and all that. So it was quite destructive. Now we got the bombs that'll do 10 times worse.
What's your opinion on the atomic bomb, dropping the atomic bomb?
Well, we at that point, we were hoping they had 20 of them.
Our understanding from many of the veterans is that they feel that it saved many of our U.S. soldiers' lives, as well as many Japanese lives.
I would estimate it would save 100,000 people. You know, even though they lost quite a few people, but it was unbelievable. They had 4,000, from what I read about it, and they had 4,000 airplanes here with pilots that could only take off. They were all suicide pilots.
Mm-hmm.
So if we made that invasion, it would have been a slaughter on both sides.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
You can't negotiate with a suicide bomber, that's for sure.
No.
That's for sure.
No, they were defeated people. When we were walking around, then we ran into a couple of them walking around, too. I don't know where they came from, where they were going, but they would not look at us. Their heads were bowed down and looked at the ground. They would not look at us.
Yeah.
They were totally, totally defeated.
Well, it was the Japanese in World War II did some pretty mean things.
They were a vicious, vicious people.
Yeah.
They were terrible.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, Joe Van Iseren, this hour has gone by very, very quickly. And it's an honor, Molly, to talk to Joe Van Iseren, World War II vet.
It absolutely is.
Yeah, on the USS Murphy. Joe, what would be maybe a final thought that you would like to leave with our listeners? We have a lot of students that listen to this show. And so what would be a final thought that you'd like to leave with them?
Well, the only thing is I just hope we never have to go to war again. And if you do, go in the Navy. It's a lot safer.
Okay.
And a lot cleaner.
Yeah.
Unless you get food poisoning.
Yeah. So Joe Van Iseren, thank you so much. It's been a real honor to speak with you this afternoon.
Appreciate you having me.
Okay, great.
Thank you, Joe. God bless.
Bye. Okay.
Molly, it is such an honor to get to visit with these guys. This World War II project is a very important project. And I have to say that I think it's changing my life, you know?
Well, it's definitely changing my life as well. It's just, you know, you read your history books in school and they don't go as into detail. I mean, they've got the facts with the dates and the number of people. Okay.
Not all of them anymore.
You know, well, right. Like, you know, Pearl Harbor was bombed December 7th, 1941. We had hundreds of Japanese fighter planes that attacked the U.S. naval base in Hawaii. And they destroyed over, you know, 20 naval vessels, including battleships, 300 airplanes, 2,400 Americans died, thousands wounded, civilians were wounded as well. The next day, FDR asked Congress if we could declare war. They said yes. America entered World War II. And from there, it's so amazing that every Friday we get to speak to World War II veterans or their family members who remember to give us their personal testimony of their time in the war, because we, you know, getting the opportunity to sit and talk to these men. Joe Van Iseren is 97 years old today, and to get to speak to somebody and look them in the eye, and you can see the 18-year-old, the 19-year-old, the 20-year-old, and they're telling the truth. And they were just so brave. They had no idea what was going to happen. And like Joe said, you know, thank goodness we did have the atomic bomb to drop in Japan, because there were 4,000 airplanes, suicide bombers, ready to take off at any moment. Hundreds of thousands more would have died. Mm-hmm. So America is great. America is good. And we want to remember the sacrifices that our military then, now, and in the future make for us and for all.
Well, you can see the character of each of these men and each of the families. His wife back at home. I mean, it is an amazing generation. We're going to share today a quote from JFK. He says, "I can imagine no more rewarding a career and any man who may be asked in this century what he did to make his life worthwhile, I think I can respond with a good deal of pride and satisfaction. I served in the United States Navy.
Awesome. This is the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim. We'll see you next Monday. Have a good weekend.